Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these words be yours and bless. Amen. It's one of my favorite lines in one of my favorite movies of all times, Raiders of the Lost Ark. They found this cavern where the ark was to be located, but as they looked, the floor seemed to be moving, and they throw a torch down, and the floor is covered with snakes. My favorite line is when Salah says to Indiana Jones, "Asps, very dangerous. You go first." After 40 years of wandering in the desert, the people of Israel were poised just east of the Jordan River, about to enter the Promised Land. Moses had died. God had let him see it, but not enter it. Instead, it would be up to a new generation to move forward and a new leader to lead them, Joshua. Now, it had to be a daunting task for this young man. On the other side of the river was the long-awaited land flowing with milk and honey, and it was theirs. Just one little problem. There were a bunch of people already living there. All those ites that were listed, who might not be so eager to give up their homes and lives to these new people. So there's every reason for Joshua to hesitate. So God says to him, "I will show the people that you are their leader and that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Let me prove it to them and to you. But first, you've got to trust me." The Old Testament lesson that Al just read is probably one you're not very familiar with. Maybe you've never heard that story before. The parting of the Jordan River pales in scope with its counterpart parting of the Red Sea. It doesn't quite have the same impact on the reader, but maybe it should. One is the stopping of a giant body of water and the resulting destruction of the entire Egyptian army. The others is stopping a kind of pathetic excuse for a river so that people can walk across it without getting their feet wet. I know that I'd always poo-pooed this and hardly gave it any attention until I really started to look at that story and its implications for the people of Israel back then, but also for me. I believe that what God said to Joshua, he also says to each and every one of us, and on more than one occasion too, something like, "I'm going to work wonders in your life. I'm going to blow you away with my power and my love and what the two of us can accomplish together. But I want you to take the first step." The Jordan River starts in the slopes of Mount Hermon, which is north of Israel in the rugged country of Syria, and flows in and out of the Sea of Galilee, down the great Rift Valley into the Dead Sea. In roughly 170 miles, 90 as the crow flies, this river descends more than 3,000 feet in elevation, making it, for its size, one of the fastest flowing rivers in the world. Or it was before irrigation took a lot of its water away, but that wasn't the case back then. And it was especially fast and dangerous and deep during springtime runoff, which is exactly the time of our story. So just stop for a moment and imagine that if you were one of the Israelites standing there on the banks of this flooding river. You're excited because after 40 years of in the wilderness, you could see your new homeland. But you're also fearful, apprehensive of what's going to await you on the other side, especially when God talks about war and conquering. But right now you're a bit confused too, because you see this raging torrent and you wonder, without a bridge, how are you going to get across? And that's when Joshua spells out what the Lord has in mind. As soon as the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant step into that water, the water will stop. And everyone will then be able to cross this river safely. How cool is that? Except, and here's where the story hits home. There's a little bit of a wrinkle there. Again, imagine you're one of those priests selected to carry the Ark. And let's say, more than that, you're the one in the front of the Ark. You got the handle right at the start of this. You're at the edge. You're the one that has to take that first step. Now, God has promised that as soon as you step off the bank into these swirling waters, the river's going to stop. And you trust God. He's been with you these 40 years. So you're sure that's going to happen, right? And yet, are you willing to take that first step? Which might well be a plunge. The waters are swirling, the banks are overflowed. You're not sure how deep and dangerous it's going to be. How do you feel about that first step? You ever have one of those moments in your life? Of course you had. Those moments where your only recourse is to do something, anything, even minor, and trust entirely on God. If you have, how did it go? Did God not deliver on his promises? If you haven't, why not? You don't have to answer that. Because I think we all know that answer. I think we've all faced it. I think we've all been confronted with having to make that kind of decision. And sometimes it's even forced upon us. How much can we trust God? Now, honestly, if it were me toting the front of that ark, right out there, inches from all those floodwaters, I don't know what I'd do. Just as I really, when I'm challenged to trust in God in the circumstances of my 21st century life, I often hesitate as well. I figure I should weigh my options before that first step. And I figure I got four options, although only one of them is pleasing to God. Option number one, I could turn to someone else and say, after you. Like Salah did to Indiana Jones. Let someone else take the lead. He's got more faith. She's smarter than me. They know their Bible inside and out. Let them go first. I will follow them. And when they make it, I will be right there, right behind them. I don't think that's what the Lord desires of us. Because basically, that kind of hesitancy is cowardice. It's looking after ourselves first and foremost. And there are times, realistically, when we put ourselves in harm's way. When God does seem to demand a lot of us, or even to abandon us to our own circumstances, and we're fearful that we will be abandoned. But I take confidence, and you should, in Paul's reminder to the Corinthians. First letter, chapter 10, 13. He says, remember, God is faithful, and he will never let you be tested beyond what you can handle. But with every trial you face, he will also provide the way for you to endure. God is faithful. Always. Are we? Then there's option number two. Let's just wait until it's safe. Let's wait until the river dies down. You know, not now. If there are any two words that absolutely kill faith, it's those. Not now. But he who hesitates is lost. I don't think we can ever know the damage we do to ourselves, to others, to the body of Christ by refusing to step forward when God calls us to. You know, I'll say I'm sorry. Later. I'll go to church. Next week. I'll give, forgive, serve, evangelize when I get around to it. When conditions are right, when opportunity permits when these stars are in alignment. No, that can't be right. Parents, as your children were growing up and you asked them to do something, was, I'll do it eventually, a good answer? No, of course not. Think it's anything different with our Father in heaven? No. Option number three. I'll just stick my toe in and test things out. Check it out first. You wonder, are half measures, partial truths, 20% commitment, is that going to win us the kingdom of heaven? I think that's the reason many of our churches are plateauing or even dying today, because of this attitude. That too many of us, good Christians, are content to give a part of ourselves, some of our time, a small percent of our money. We want the waters of the swirlings around us to be okay to just test out, see what they're made of, see what we're made of. We want to dip in our big toe when God says jump in with both feet. The thing is, it's not like he punishes us when we don't commit ourselves to him with that. In a sense, we punish ourselves because we never get to experience the miracle. We never get to see his power displayed in us. That's why I love the episode in the gospel lesson, why I put these two together, of Peter walking on water, the power displayed. You know, we often read this and we focus on the sinking part. You know, you of little faith, you know, but just think what Peter does. He asked Jesus to let him walk on water, and Jesus did, while the other disciples just sat and watched him. You know, I did this sermon a number of years ago, being in the boat, one of those stories. And I was that disciple that said, I wish I would have asked. You know? And the thing is, in a sense, I still can. I can trust God to do something fantastic with me, to me, through me, in the storms of my life. Sometimes it seems like we've made it so easy, so painless to be a Christian today. And it should be something that's actually risky to us, to make us realize what the cost is, to make us value it even more. And then we come to option four. Just do it. Step out in faith, into the raging torrent, out of the boat, and then see what God's going to do. Now, for the Israelites, God was just getting started. There was still Jericho in the horizon to come. And right after this episode, the next chapter, he tells all the Israelites to gather 12 stones representing of each tribe and stack them up right where they cross this river. Standing stones, if you will, as a reminder of what God had done for them, as a promise in the future what God would be doing, but even more importantly, as a present day witness that they'd have to account for. Standing stones, you'd have to find and explain what it is. That's what makes this episode so powerful. For Joshua, have the people take that first step in the Jordan River, and then everyone will pass by in safety. They will know this and give thanks to God. But so will all those Adamites up at Zarephath who are up to their ears in floodwaters. They're going to wonder what's happening, come down and find out, and you get to tell them. And either way, God's praised. He did all the work. He performed the miracle. All you did was get your feet wet. Friends, I want you to take this story to heart. Because it's really not a bunch of ex-slaves crossing a river 4,000 years ago. It's really about how each and every one of us faces adversity, alone or with God, even when the hard way often seems to be God's way. What are the swollen rivers in your life? Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's not having popularity you like. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. Maybe it's just feeling hard done by the world. But face up to it, because you won't confront it alone. Fear not, because your Lord will see you through. He's promised. And so it is like those opening lines in the episodes of Star Trek. We're invited to boldly go, but not beyond where no one else has been. To boldly go following Jesus, where he already waits. Take the plunge. Let go and let God, because he is more faithful, more powerful, more loving than you will ever know, unless and until you let him show you.
God grant that.
Amen. Amen.